Now, if you have your Bibles, quickly open to the book of Psalm 131. That's one we have been reading. Please, you know, last time I said I had finished what I was teaching on, what do you call it, the faith rest life. But well, later when I go home, I realized I left something unsaid. And I'm going to just quickly say that one today, and then I will leave it there. So we'll read our normal scriptures that we normally read. Psalm 131. If you are there, say amen. Or like Reverend Chris would say, uh-huh. All right, Psalm 131. It said, O Lord, my heart is not proud, nor my eyes haughty, nor do I involve myself in great matters, or in things too difficult for me. Surely I have composed and quieted my soul, like a wind child rests against his mother. My soul is like a wind child within me. O Israel, it said, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. Now, please bear that one in mind. That's what we have been reading. Let me just emphasize something to us again. He said, verse 2, that I have composed and quieted my soul. That this is a conscious effort I make. It's something I stretch myself to do. It doesn't happen just naturally. But I get up, I make sure that my soul is composed and is quieted. All right? He now said, okay, let's leave that one there. Quickly open your Bible to First Chronicles chapter 19. 1 Chronicles chapter 19. I've left Psalm 131. The next one we are reading is 1 Chronicles chapter 19. You know, I said I give different stages concerning the matter of faith. And I explained that that's the matter of the faith rest life. Different principles or different steps or actions that one takes. We talked about the last one, which is the matter of prayer. We talked about the issue of meditation, all right? We talked about general understanding about life. There's one last one I was supposed to bring up, but I forgot until I was just listening to the message of the last time. I just remember that I left that thing. Or I think it was when my wife and I were discussing, I made mention of something, and I realized I didn't say this one that I'm supposed to have added, and that's what I want to add now. 1 Chronicles chapter 19. Please, let's read from verse 10. Now remember, these are men of Joab, mighty men of war. He said, now when Joab saw, verse 10, sorry, I meant to say, these are men of David. Now when Joab saw that the battle was set against him in front and in the rear, he selected from all the choice men of Israel, and they arrayed themselves against the Arameans. But the remainder of the people he placed in the hand of Abishai, his brother, and they arrayed themselves against the sons of Ammon. And he said, if the Arameans are too strong for me, then you shall help me. But if the sons of Ammon are too strong for you, then I will help you. Be strong, he said, verse 13, and let us show ourselves courageous for the sake of our people and for the cities of our God. And may the Lord do what is good in his sight. Now, it so happened in verse 14, that Joab and the people who were with him drew near to the battle against the Arameans, and they fled before him. And when the sons of Ammon saw that the Arameans fled, they also fled before Abishai his brother and entered the city. Then Joab came to Jerusalem. Now, we have read these two scriptures, the first one being the one that we read all the time, in which we have been using that to explain the principle of the faith rest life. Don't forget what I've said again and again, that there is a work of God for you to do. And that God has not called us in life to struggle, but to struggle only so as to enter into his rest. And that anyone who has entered into his rest has ceased from, that is, if you enter into God's rest, you cease from doing your own works, that is, your own struggles. But God will give you that which is his own work for you. And that in doing that, you will experience the grace of God. And we say, well, what is the grace of God? The grace of God is when God does mighty things that you did not struggle to achieve. He does them in your life while you do only the little things that he has said you should do. That's what grace means. Grace is not just unmerited favor. It's when the working of God is mightily manifested in your life far beyond your own energy. So he said, I am what I am by the grace of God. That is, whatever you see me becoming in life, whatever results I've gotten, it's not by my strength. It was his power working towards me. And Paul said at the time that God said to him, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. That is, when I'm weak, then I am strong. When I think I can't do anything, that's actually when I achieve everything. And that's the meaning of the word grace. And we say to be able to experience that, what we need to do is to labor so as to enter into the rest of God. And we have described many things that we need to do. We must understand the word of God concerning each situation. And very importantly, you quieten and compose your soul, like David told us to do in Psalm 131, by speaking to yourself. That the word meditation does not just describe thinking, all right? Like the way we think about it in English language. But in that Joshua chapter 1, he said, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night." The reason why he said it won't depart from your mouth, all right, and said meditate, is because meditation is the way by which the word does not depart from your mouth. A man who the word is not depart from his mouth is not just thinking, the man who's meditating is not just thinking, but he's talking to himself. That is when situations in life, I said that before, life is always, all right, talking to you. You know, I mentioned something just before this meeting started, just now, a few minutes ago. I said there's a lot of bad news. You watch TV, I watched the news yesterday night, and it was very interesting. You know, bushfire in Russia is still going on, all right? They're just managing to cap it now. Meanwhile, the flood in Pakistan is getting worse. Do you understand? The one they had as of last week is the worst they had ever seen in the recorded history. And the bad news is that it's only going to get worse. Do you understand? That you have not yet reached the south because it's coming from rain. Somebody asked me, the man in whose church I went to preach, he said, "Man of God, what happened? Did the dam break?" I said, "Okay, it's called rain. Rain just fell from heaven. Nothing. Is there rain? What is going on? Is it because of global warming?" I said, "Okay, I don't know." All right? Calamity here and there. The mudslide just buried the whole village. All right? Well, not the whole village. Part of a village in Russia and in China. The mud just buried people. One man was sitting down there crying. The mud buried his daughter, his sister, and his mother. All the women in his life. And he sat down there crying. And people are sitting, you watch it, calamity here and there, troubles here and there. And I said, these things are speaking to you. They are trying to disquieten your soul, all right? They are trying to scare you. You had issues going on in the country. These things are trying to scare you. What do you do when it appears like you want to get scared? You understand? What you do is begin to speak to your soul. You don't just look at it and go away. In fact, that man I was telling you about, I was in his office, the man I went to his office. To his church to go and preach. And the TV was on. So he just looked and said, "What is that?" I said, "Oh, I know this story. There was one young boy who some Iraqi militants wanted to punish his father. So they poured petrol on his head and set the boy on fire. And the boy shouted, used his hand, tried to quench the fire. Cut the long story short, the boy was badly burnt. So the man looked at it and after a few minutes, he switched the channel that I can't stand this anymore." I said, "This is wickedness. That human beings are so wicked." Each time you watch those things, they are speaking to you. They are trying to do something to your soul. That's the point I'm making. They are trying to disquieten your soul. So what do? You get up and you compose your soul. You use the word of God to talk to yourself. It's not just trying to make yourself feel happy. All right? It is you are using the word of God to speak to yourself. All right? "Why are you downcast, O my soul?" David said. He said, "Put your trust in the Lord." He's talking. You see, look at David. He always did that thing. He always spoke to himself. He said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Do you understand? He instructed himself. So when you want to be scared, you turn around and said, "My soul, why are you scared?" Look into a mirror. He said, "Banky, what is wrong with you? Why are you afraid? Is it because you don't have money? Is it because you don't have this? Is it because of this calamity? Is it because you want to travel and the roads are unsafe?" This is what the word of God has said concerning you. All right? He said, "God will be with you in your going out and in your coming in from this day forth and forever." He said, "As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so does the Lord surround his people." And you're talking to yourself. He said, "Don't be afraid, my soul." That's what's called meditation. Meditation is not just to sit down and think and imagine. That's imagination. There's a world of difference between meditation and imagination. In meditation, you are speaking. He said, "This man who will be blessed, what does he do?" In the word of God, he meditates or he talks to himself day and night. He speaks to himself, "Don't be afraid of tomorrow. God has taken charge of your tomorrow." He puts a message in his ears, listens to it. After he has finished listening to it, "I've said to you, you are your own best preacher. You are your own best teacher. You are your own only prophet." Really effective prophet. You are your own. When you have heard the word, you now get up and begin to preach to yourself. It's called quietening your soul. David said, "I have composed and quieted my soul." That's what we've been discussing. I don't want to go over it again. That's the principle of meditation. Now, what am I bringing for today? It's the last stage in everything that I've been saying. There's something that happens, that happened here. 1 Corinthians chapter 19. These two great nations gathered together against the men of David. If you go and read it, you read in verse 6 of 1 Corinthians chapter 19. The sons of Ammon, when they saw that they had anointed David, they sent money and hired 32,000 chariots. All right? And then they gathered together with the Arameans, two nations, or the Syrians, all right? That's what we call Aram there also. Two nations gathered, and they were going to fight David. And then David sent Joab and the army, the mighty men. What I want to bring out is the principle that Joab explained to his brother Abishai here. That is, when you have done everything, he said, listen, Abishai, this is our battle plan. We'll divide ourselves into two battalions or two companies or two brigades, whatever. You take one part of the army, you will face one of the enemies. I will take the second part of the army, and then I will face the Arameans. You face the sons of Ammon. He said, this is our strategy. If it goes like this, you do this. If it goes like that, do that. He said, I'm just asking you simply, be strong and let us show ourselves courageous for the sake of our people and for the cities of our God. And the next line he said, may the Lord do what is good in his sight. I should title my message today, the carelessness of faith. Yes, that would be good. Or the fatalistic faith. What do I mean? This is the last stage of our discussion. After this, I finish what I've been saying about faith rest life. We have described everything that we need to do. There are plans you can have to handle the situation according to the wisdom that God gives you. This is what I want to teach today. Once you have done that, you know, the way the Englishman said it, he said, do your best and do what? Leave the rest. One of the things you have to learn to do is to absolutely leave the rest. What you are doing is cooperating actually with the rest of God. The peace of God that passes all understanding that's coming to your mind. What I mean is this. We've talked about the matter of prayer. You take a matter to God and you pray about it. And then the Bible says that the peace of God which passes all understanding will guard your heart and mind. I said something at the beginning of this series. I said when the peace of God comes, one of the things it does is that it makes you so cool that the natural human mind cannot understand why he or she is so irresponsible. I don't know whether I get my point. Everybody else is worried about you. You are not worried about yourself. I don't know what I hear fully want to say. And what happens is this. After a while, you will look and decide that something must be wrong with me. I have encountered people in life, and that trait is in most of us. Or at least, let me say, almost all of us to varying degrees. That if you show them how life can be easy, how they can do things without too much stress, they don't like it. They don't like it. They love to suffer and come and tell the story of their suffering so that you feel sorry for them. I don't know why I get my point. They love to go through hassles and then come to tell the story of the hassles that they have gone through so that you will feel sorry for them. If you say this is the easy way to get to, let's say, Zeke Avenue, stop here, take a taxi, you have some money in your pocket, yes, just use it for taxi. Say, that's all I have. Use it for taxi and get there. He will get there. He won't. He will trek from now to Zeke Avenue. Then when he comes to me, he tells me, go help me bring something. Let's say you gave him money. He will come back and say, okay, that thing you should go and bring. Whoosh. My God. Say, what happened? I trekked. See, this is the money you gave me. This is the money. I felt, what's the need? That's the money. You know what he wants? Feel sorry for me. I have suffered for you. See, I trekked all the way to Zeke Avenue there just for your sake. Feel sorry for me small now. Are you getting what I'm saying? Human beings love that. They do. If you show a lot of people the easy way to do things in life, they just don't like. You know why? It denies them totally of glory. They want to tell stories and write books later. I was reading one man's story in one magazine recently. It's a first class student, first this, champion this, everything. Then he began to tell his story. He says, it's good to read the Bible before you read all kinds of things. They described the man's success in life and the victories he has had in examinations. Then they described the procedure. He now described the procedure that gave him the victory. And I said, I will never follow you. None of my children will follow you. I don't care that you had first class. I don't care what it is that you had. I will never follow this. He said, because for me, there has never been an easy exam. I have always taken every exam as very serious. He says, from the age of 10, I have been reading from 4 a.m. to 11 p.m. That's your problem. I'll come for your funeral at the year of 54. I don't give a hoot that you have first classes all your life is your problem. It is vain for a man to rise up early and to go to bed late and then have first class that he can testify only of the sufferings that went through it, that went into producing it. I said, no, it's not so. That's what God doesn't like. People like him, I read the story, that's a lie. That story he told you is a lie. Do you get what I'm saying? Did you hear what I said? That story that the man told is a lie. Pastor Bank, do you know him? I don't need to know him. At the age of 10, what, your father is sadist or what? Ready, reading on him. My friend, get away. Who are you trying to impress? I've had people, in fact, to me it's a sign of you know no book, because it's true. I have a student. The guy was damn too good. One exam like this, I said, oh God, we must give this boy, I told my seniors, we must give this boy a distinction. I said, let's examine him for this year. By the time he came in, our external examiner, one professor from another university, he said, the questions I asked this boy, I asked some of the postgraduate doctors sometimes, they can't get them. Not only did this boy get his postgraduate level questions, it was the way he flowed easily from his mouth that impressed the prof. Later on, the guy came to see me in the office, a young man, and we're talking. And I said, how exactly do you read? He said, I really don't read. He said, my classmates know me. I read. It's not as if he doesn't read at all. He said, but it's not as if I'm a hard reader. He just wants to tell me something. I really find it hard to forget. Just tell me something. It sticks in my brain. And when you ask a question, I just believe that I must know it. Why won't I know it? I mean, do you understand my that attitude? And that's the kind of one I want to follow. Not somebody telling me a story that all my life I've always read from 2 a.m. to 1 a.m. So what I'm saying is that, you see, people, they love to take glory. So sometimes when God puts peace in your mind, after a while, you want to tell yourself, I must be doing something about this matter. Okay? Are you getting what I'm saying? I must be worried. I must strive. I must have a headache. I must stay awake. I must be able to tell brethren that all that while I was just praying day and night. What am I preaching today? Once you have done that which you are supposed to do, and God has poured his peace into your soul, please cooperate with it and forget it. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. Cooperate with God and forget it. What I brought up from that story of 1 Chronicles chapter 19 of Joab and his brother and the army of David is that the man said to his brother, do the best you can, then let the Lord do that which he see, what seems good in his sight. If we lose the battle, it's not because we did not try. It's because the Lord did not give us victory. So let it just not be that our losing the battle was because of lack of courage. Let it not be that when the Arameans showed up and the Ammonites just, and we ran. He said, no. They brought their guns or their swords, we faced them. Everything they had, we faced them. And that's what soldiers are supposed to do. If you ever saw this movie, 300, it's interesting. What's the guy's name again? That general. Leonidas, yes. Leonidas took his 300 men and they were going to face those they call the immortals. And the other guy said, the immortals was coming. We are dead. We are doomed. He looked at his men and said, they call them immortals. Let us put their name to the test. That's what soldiers do. Let's see whether they are really immortal. So they faced the so-called immortals and killed the immortals. And said they failed the test. We put their name to the test and they failed. The immortal people are dead. But the other men who thought the immortals, you're right, were really immortal, they were going to run away. But this man did what soldiers are supposed to do. He said they are immortals. Okay, let's see whether they are really immortals. And he tried and found that they were not immortals. Just that they had spread their gist so far and wide that everybody thought they were really immortal. Now we have killed the immortal people. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is, we refuse to show lack of courage. And that was what Joab was telling Abishai.
Make sure you are courageous. Do that which you know to do. Then let the Lord do that which seems good in his sight. That is, whatever the result will be, let it be that we have done what we know how to do, and then we'll sit down, sit back, and watch the rest. Listen, that's one attitude we must take. That's why I call it the faith, the fatalistic faith. That is, let the worst that can happen, let it happen. I mean, I've done what I'm supposed to do. The rest is beyond my powers. I have prayed, I have quieted my soul. My soul is quiet. I've done what I'm supposed to do. Oh boy, let us run and then no. Oh boy, I've done my own bit. Let God do his own bit. What if things spoil? That is the will of God. That's how you discover the will of God. I like the way my pastor used to say this when we were in Lagos. He said, what is God's will? He said, do the right thing. The consequences are the will of God. If I say some of this, it will be like I'm preaching that people shouldn't pray. If you go, you applied for a job, you prayed over your application, you prayed well before the interview, you performed your best during the interview. When you go back home, shall I beg you for something? Don't bother praying about it again. There are witches who are looking over your application that shall not succeed. You will not sleep. You will rise up and face them and say, Holy Ghost, fire. Listen, I've already said to you, only sinners refuse to sleep. A righteous man, David said, in peace will I lay me down and sleep. For the Lord alone causes me to dwell in safety. The witch that doesn't want to sleep is because he or she is a sinner. Why do I have to pretend like I'm a man of iniquity? Because sinners are not asleep. Listen, all those sons of his stay up all night and be supervising the application. It's lack of faith. It's not really faith. It's lack of faith. Before you wrote the application, you prayed. No, so. You even anointed the edges with oil. You wanted to pour the oil on it, but you don't want to soil the paper. So it's just the edges you touched with oil. You even wrap seed inside it, you know what I mean? You wrap the application inside money. Abraham's blessings, Amen. You shook it out. Say, Lord, I use this application to sow a seed towards getting this job. You have prayed, you have prophesied. The day of the interview, you anointed yourself. They thought it was a kerosene sheen on your head. It's not a kerosene sheen, it was olive oil. You did everything. The interview is over. Bros, you have done all that you can do. Any prayer after that is a sign of unbelief. Which prayer should you pray? Pray to quieten your soul. When they are disturbing, you say, ah! Speak to your soul. Soul, you have done your best. You have shown yourself courageous in the sight of the interviewer and the sight of your family. Now let the Lord do that which is pleasing in his sight. Say, Pastor Bank, what if I don't get a job? So you thought it's every job you're going to get? Of course, you probably won't get it. Is it everyone you will get? If you don't get it, that's not your own. It is not because it didn't stay up. It is because it's not your own. Do you get what I'm saying? Listen, life has two sides, so I keep on saying it. There is seed and there is harvest. Paul said that once we plant and we water, the increase comes from God. Are you following what I'm saying? You can't force it. He said the kingdom of God is like a seed that a man plants. You can't force it. You can't force it. And there's no point pretending like you can, because you can't. Are you following what I'm saying? There's no point pretending like you can, because you can't. I'm summarizing all our teachings on faith rest with this particular one today. That let us learn to cooperate with God when he's putting rest into our souls. And we shouldn't take pride in having, you know, a worrisome spirit. Do you get my point? The man is so concerned. He's up. You are up. You are down. You are rushing here and there because you want to make sure the thing works. What am I saying? Your rushing up and down is not going to make it work. There's something Jesus said. Quickly open to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 6, sorry. In verse 24, he said, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or will hold on to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. He said, for this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body as to what you shall put on. He said, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? He said in verse 27, and that's where I'm really going. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to his lifespan? Or can add any inch to his height? Some put it like that. He said, and why are you anxious about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so arrays the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow, is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more do so for you, O men of little faith? He now said, do not be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow will take care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Actually, I read all of this too, and I want to emphasize something there. That's in that verse 27. He said, which one of you, by taking thought, I like King James' expression there, can add a single cubit to his height? The fact that you think about something so much, Jesus was saying, I told you that, look, listen, some of the things we practice that we call Christianity is not true Christianity. You know, I've told you before. Some of them are what? Spiritualism. You constantly think about it day and night. Jesus said, by doing that, how much effect can you have on the length of your life? Or in fact, I should put it to add to it the words of Jesus here. If you think too much about it, you shorten your lifespan. Do you understand the principle? This is what I'm saying. When we decide to put something in our mind and never stop thinking about it, Jesus said it does not add anything to the situation. And that's what I want to end this series on. You have done everything you know to do. You have observed these principles. God will pour the spirit of peace, the peace of God into your mind. Then people are going to start telling you that you are careless. I don't know whether you understand that. That is, you don't seem to be concerned.